Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
I beg your pardon? Are you sure you're on your own, Mr. Salmon? If you have company, we can always record later, you know.
Oh, it's strange. I'll tell you what they're doing outside is they're digging up the driveway to lay fibre optics or something to offer people on the site wired broadband to their vans, which is all very laudable, but they're going to be, apparently, the connection speed is going to be 50 Mbp, whatever it is. And my cellular connection gets 500. So I can't imagine that they're going to actually be able to sell anyone to buy into this service once they've laid all the cables. Anyway, that's their lookout, isn't it?
Unless it's at some sort of phenomenally cheap price or free even. I don't know.
Last time they tried it, they tied it down to one device. So you could only have a code and it can only go on one device. So that's no bloody good to me. Anyway, so if there's banging and crashing and knocking, then that's probably what it is. Are we recording now? Oh, hello, everyone.
We've been, yes, the listener is sitting there waiting patiently for you to start the show, Ted.
Right, okay, it's Whatever Works. Hello, Aidan.
Hello, Ted.
We're back again. It's show 224, and it's the middle of April, almost exactly the middle of April. And we're bringing you the usual hour of claptrap and talk about whatever works in our lives and yours as well. Whateverworks.works is our website, where you will find all sorts of links to stuff we're going to talk about. The MeWe group is where we invite you to join us, blah, blah, blah. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan and what he does. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me and what I do. So, yes. Oh, by the way, I've dubbed you, Aidan is the new Dawn.
I'm sorry?
And the reason I'm calling you the new Dawn is because my dad's got this cleaner called Dawn, and every time she makes an appointment to come and do his cleaning for him, which is only once a month for 2 hours, every single time she phones up and says, no, I'm not coming on Monday at 11. I'll come on Tuesday. Is that all right? Or I'm not coming on Monday at 11. I'll come on Monday at 4. Is that all right? And the humorous thing is that she's never, ever come at the allotted time that she said she would. And it reminded me of you and I. And every time we are recording Whatever Works, it seems to be that, you know, your mum needs you for something, or you're being Santa somewhere, and it always, it never seems
oh,
to
be. Oh, I see. I'm being criticised for having a life. I see. Well, I'm terribly sorry, Ted. I shall sit down
Hello,
on
Hazel.
The floor with my legs crossed and my hands in the lotus position and wait for the next edition of Whatever Works.
I'm not criticising at all. It just struck me as an interesting common theme with Dad's cleaner.
Oh, right.
So you're now called Dawn.
Or are you insinuating that I have a future as a cleaner?
Or perhaps, I'll tell you what, I'll call her Aidan.
Here, did you know WH Smith's is closing? It was on the news
no.
the other week. I mean, it's the world is just closing in around us. WH Smith's is no longer going to be on the Prime Street. Apparently, they're being bought out by a company called T.G. Joe. No, they're being bought out by Hobbycraft, I think. And W.H. Smith's is going to become T.G. Jones instead of W.H. Smith's, T.G. Jones. But you will see W.H. Smith's, what's the plural for W.H. Smith, at airports and railway stations and the like, because the travel branches will still be there. But it struck a chord with me because I thought, my Lord, they've been there since you know, before I was born. There's been Smith's on the high street, and now there won't be.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't the world sad?
Yeah. I haven't seen one for a long time, mind you. There was one in Chichester. I don't know if it's still there. but I have not seen one in North Wales anywhere. I'm not sure if they're in Wales, but the one in the middle of the North Street in Chichester was just same as you, always there since I was knee high to a grasshopper.
Yeah, but, I mean, I've got to say they have started to become a shadow of what they once were. You know, it's a bit like a lot of branches of boots. You go in there and think, God, this is depressing. But it's a shame if they've actually gone. But still, so they're going to be there, but under a different name. Wait a moment. I'm waiting with bated breath.
I saw a story that went through a couple of weeks ago or a month ago that said WH Smith are starting to sell LP records. So they've obviously turned tail on that plan, haven't they?
Well, maybe that's what did for them.
Here, I'm going to have a... The Camera Creations MeWe group approached me and said, we'd like to do a podcast to talk about cameras and photography and all that sort of stuff. And I thought to myself, oh, okay then. I had considered that in the past, but no one seemed to be very interesting. But so I said to them all, there's a group of about, I don't know, 10 people, and they want to take it in turns to kind of be guest or whatever, or be host. And I said, well, yeah, okay, let's give it a go. So what we decided to do, what I decided to do, unilaterally, without reference to you, was to hang it off of whatever works. So because the thing is that the infrastructure for whatever works is in place, and the podcast thing is there, and the YouTube thing works, and so at least till we see if it's got any legs, I thought I would hang it. It's a whatever works special now and again, or whatever kind of camera creations instead. So I don't know if you would be interested in that kind of thing, would you?
I certainly would. Let's give it a shot and see what develops. See what I did there? Yeah, no, that sounds like a nice idea, Ted. And as you say, start small with as a hang-off to whatever works, and then hopefully in due course, as its listenership booms, it can blossom into a unit of its own.
Or everyone just gets fed up with the novelty value, and then it fags away, and then I won't have paid money on setting up a website and all the rest of the stuff that needs doing.
Yes, I approve, Ted. Let's see what happens there. What's next?
Yeah, okay then. Right, okay then. Now, a couple of wooden theme presents that we bought recently for my sister. And one of them is a foot massager for £19, which I await her report on. And the other one is a dried fruit gift hamper. This is quite interesting. It's £26, so it's quite expensive, but these wooden things are really nice, and my sister really likes stuff made of wood. The foot massager, you basically it's completely mechanical. You put it on the floor and you roll your foot over the top of it, and it's supposed to kind of do that whole kind of, you know, make the bottom of your foot feel better.
Yes.
And the dried fruit gift hamper thingy is quite an interesting design in that it folds flat, but when you turn it through 90 degrees and lift up the bottom of it, it kind of concertinas into a fruit bowl with a big apple thing around it. It looks really nice, and she said that was a really nice gift, and she certainly will be using it, and yes, that she really likes things made of wood like we do.
I love that. This is wonderful. It's basically, it's a flat wooden board, and then when you twist it, it turns into a bowl. I mean, it's magic, isn't it? It's great.
Yeah.
I like that very much, yes.
Very nice indeed. It's a bit expensive, £26. I mean, but then some wooden things I think are expensive. That foot massager is not so expensive, but, you know, maybe it's simpler. Anyway, we'll feedback on that when she tells us if it's any good or not.
And your sister's worth it. Come on.
Yeah.
Back in July 2023, you may remember that, who was it? Matt Jones brought onto the show an ALF, how do you say this? ALFILLE with an accent. ALFI temperature controlled butter dish, which is basically a fairly big, for what a butter dish should be, size butter dish. The USP being that you plug it in and it keeps the temperature either cool during the summer or hot during the winter, or warm, I should say, during the winter, so that basically you have spreadable butter throughout the year. Now, I was very taken with this at the time, and I said to my mum, hey, why don't we get an ALFI butter dish? And she sort of dithered and said, no, I don't think I really want one. Well, all of a sudden, a couple of weeks ago, she just says, oh, let's get that butter dish. And so we did. So 2 years later, my mother bought the butter dish, and I have to say, it works a treat. As ever, I've kept it in the house a little bit before mentioning it to see what it's like. And unfortunately, of course, we haven't had both summer and winter to test it, but we have had the change of weather, and we've had cold days and warm days. And it really does seem to work. It keeps the butter at a very ambient, spreadable temperature. It's got a one single potentiometer control underneath. You can turn it to softer or harder, so you can adjust it depending on how you like your butter. I found a YouTube review, which we might link to, where he tests it. First, he puts it in the fridge, and then he puts it in the airing cupboard, and both times the butter comes out perfectly spreadable. Lots of fun. It's available in, I think it's in 3 or 4 different colours. It's a basic dish, but the lid is available in, I think, 3 or 4 different colours. It's not cheap. It's £45.98, but my mum paid for it. And, I like it very much. I mean, I'm not actually a big butter eater. You know, I'm trying to watch what I eat. I don't consume a lot of butter, but my mother does, and she loves her butter on her bread, and it works really well. So if anybody, you know, sort of first world problems, but if you want a constantly spreadable butter, I can recommend, I'll try one more time to get it right, the Alfili temperature controlled butter dish.
Okay, we'll try and find a working link to get that one. I can't get to the website. That every time I try it just kind of goes to unsafe, and
you can't
get there. And so we'll try and find a link for that. But we'll come back to butter a bit later, won't we?
We shall indeed, actually. It's a butter-esque show. Sorry, I'm distracting myself looking at the 503 service unavailable that you linked me to. Now, Layden, concentrate. Yeah. Yes, more butter later. Meanwhile, tell us about table lamps.
The Honeywell cordless table lamp is really ever so nice. It's an ever so neat idea. I wanted a little table lamp for my desk because I can't see around me very well. Probably my eyes.
It might have something to do with your eyes if you can't see, Ted, yes.
It's a rechargeable LED desk lamp with, and this is the interesting feature, it's got a magnetic ball. It's quite hard to describe without looking at the website, but the thing is, it looks kind of like a lamp on a stand, which is about a foot or 18 inches tall, and then in the middle of the actual bottom of it, there's a magnetic ball which clacks into place, and then you can adjust the head at whatever angle you fancy, turn it around or point it straight down, or if you take the head off, remove the magnet, you can then lay it on its base and point the light up, or you could lay it on its face, turn the light off and use the RGB lights around the outside. Some people, I know not you, but some people might like that during the night for sleeping. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really nice. It's got a 5,200 milliamp-hour battery in it, apparently. Takes an awful long time to charge. 7 hours to charge it up it took. And but anyway, laying that aside, it's a USB-C port, which is great. It's supposed to last 35 hours on its lowest setting and 7 hours on its highest. So I tested it on the highest setting. And actually, their 7 hours was usurped. I got 10 hours from it. So, yeah, even better. 4 colours, RGB, different kind of, you know, tones of colour, whatever they're called. From cool white to warm
colour
white.
Colour temperatures, to
natural,
yes, yeah.
That's the word, yeah. There's touch controls on the top of the thing. It's quite a heavy base on it, so it doesn't go anywhere. The magnet is really strong. Anyway, it's really nice. My only complaint, really, is that it would be nice if the charging went in through the base and then through the magnetic ball into the thing, because at the moment, you, in order to charge it, you've got to stick the USB-C onto the light itself, which is a bit cumbersome, I think. But apart from that, it's really nice little lamp, and you know, it does the trick beautifully well, and it's very flexible for different situations.
I think it's lovely, very dinky. It's like a cat. It's like a ball head tripod, really, isn't it? The top. And it's very, very neat, Ted, and available in 2 colours. You can get it in black or in white. I like this. I don't need one. It's that classic thing. I want one of those, but I don't need it. Good call. Good shout. Thank you, Ted.
Indeed.
Damien Brown brings us another good shout. The Tescun PL330 shortwave radio. As a kid, says Damien, I used to spend hours scanning the shortwave bands on a radio I received for Christmas. I recently stumbled on a YouTube video, sorry, Ted, extolling the virtues of this particular radio. Anyway, I bit the bullet, he says, and got it from AliExpress for around £40. Or there's one linked to on Amazon for £99. It's a fantastic bit of kit and really easy to get to grips with. Goodness me, shortwave? I haven't listened to shortwave since I was a boy. Wow, no, maybe one should.
I've got a shortwave radio here and I never, ever turn it on. I think from when I was younger playing with shortwave, it seemed to be a bit of a dead loss unless you had a really big aerial or you lived in the right place or you lived on top of a mountain
somewhere. That's right, yeah.
And I've always found with shortwave, unless you are investing in a exterior aerial or something, it takes me back to the early days when my dad used to have this FM aerial on the roof of the house. Which is a bit extreme, I suppose. Anyway, yeah, very nice idea. And it's nice to see shortwave surviving. When the balloon goes up, everyone will be relying on that, no doubt.
I think so.
I thought it was about time that my trusty PC had its own camera. I was going to be a guest on the Nomad Tech podcast, and we were Sam and Joe do that on video normally. And the last time I was on, I was just audio. So I thought, let's bite the bullet. I've got my new teeth now, so that's good. I won't look too stupid. And so I went on it, and I got this Anker PowerConf C200 box thingy that sits now on top of my computer monitor, and it's really nice. It's a nice red colour. It's got a privacy guard thingy to turn the camera off, so you can just use the audio. Yeah, if you want the audio only, you can do that. Or if you're going onto a Zoom call or whatever call you're doing that requires video, or if you're so anyway, for £44 in Amazon spring sale, I think the normal price is about £60.
Yes, it's up to £60 now. Yeah.
Yeah, it works really well. There's Windows software for it, which is easy to download and use, and you can adjust all sorts of stuff with it, the area of pickup and the mode it's on and blah, blah, blah. And, works really well. It works also quite well with my PowerConf S3, which I covered on the show before. I knew that would come in useful one day. So you can use that as the a kind of tabletop microphone if you prefer to do that.
Yes.
Anyway, nice little dinky machine, the C200 Anker PowerConf.
Looks great. Excuse me. I'm also a great advocate of the privacy cover because I would never trust software saying, oh, your camera's not being used. No, always good to physically cover the lens when you're not using it. Good call.
Look, that one's black. My one's red.
Oh, dear. He wants a different one now.
There must be two. No, I like my Rev one. But also, I noticed going through to the site, there's a 15% voucher off. So it probably ends up being the same as what I paid.
I bring you two finds from your good self, Ted. You must have had me in mind, which is why I think you've put them down in the show notes for me to look at. Heated mouse and heated mouse hand gizmos. The first you've linked here is a USB heated mouse pad hand warmer. Basically, it seems to be a sort of huge glove that goes over the mouse pad and you put your hand into it with your mouse. And so you're working your mouse from within a glove. £24 from our favourite shop. For me, the problem with that would be is, as people I think know, I'm now using this upright handshake mouse, which means my hand's a lot taller and my mouse is enormous. And I don't think I'd even get it into this glove, let alone have any freedom of movement when I was in there. But for people with smaller hands and smaller mice, why not? I mean, I'm really pleased to say that for the last couple of winters, my hands haven't suffered so much. And perhaps this cold hand thing that I really did suffer quite badly from for some years may be abating. But certainly a couple of years ago, I would have snapped at that. And I would certainly, even now, snap at the second one because I think it's very Stargate. You've got the desktop heated mouse pad hand warmer, basically the same name. But this time it seems to be some sort of archway that sits on your desk. So it's, again, you put your hand and your mouse underneath it, but it's just an, it's like putting, you know, a giant hand under Marble Arch. And the heat radiates down from this archway. It looks a lot more fun, a lot more sci-fi, and possibly a lot more useful and something I might be able to get to grips with because it might be big enough for my use case. It does look fun. Again, it's the sort of thing, you know, this is why things get sent back to Amazon all the time, isn't it? Because you just don't know whether it's going to be wonderful or completely crap. So you have to buy it and give it a shot. But why did you come across these just out of interest, Ted? Were you just browsing aimlessly and you suddenly found these, or did you think of me?
I can't remember.
All right.
But when I saw them, the first thing I thought of was you. This archway one looks actually to be the better one.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure. It's not very clear about how it's powered, whether it's US. Oh, no, it's 230 volts. So
it plugs into the mains.
That
means it's going to be a lot better to start with. And I presume it's hot air. I mean, I wonder if it's some sort of heat lamp radiation, which would be very classy. But it's more likely that it's got a fan blowing hot air at your hand. So you probably have to a tube of hand cream as well. Otherwise, you'll have very old and wizened hands by the time you finished at your computer.
but I agree with you, that second one I think is much nicer looking and much more high tech looking. So yeah, nice one.
Thank you, Ted. You can buy me one. I'd be grateful.
I wonder who bought it.
We don't do household pets very much on this show, but someone has bought from my affiliate link the Bindoken Small Puppy or Cat Harness and Lead Set, which actually looks really cute. It's an escape-proof kitten or small dog harness with a leash. It's 16.4 feet long, retractable, and it's reflective and adjustable, and it's 15 quid to buy. And yeah, I guess that if you were going to tether your cat up like that, you might live in a situation where you would fear that the dog or the cat will run off or someone will nick it, or perhaps you live in a high-rise flat or something and you have to actually take your cat for a walk. Or I don't know, but it does look very neat and very cute and very, you know, nice solution for those that need it.
I totally agree. I should point out it's actually 18% off at the moment. It's $13.99, so get one quick.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if it's not just the cat. I mean, that's the most adorable cat. I mean, that's a clever piece of advertising there, because that cat, I mean, I wonder how much the cat would be. That's what I'd purchase. I mean, there's no point in having this lead without a cat. So there you go. You've got to buy a cat first, haven't you?
Indeed. There you go. Anyway, whoever bought that, thank you very much. If you're going to go and buy stuff on Amazon, you can do that with my affiliate link. It is tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. I know what has been bought, but I don't know who's bought it. So whoever it was with the small puppy or cat, thank you.
Thank you indeed.
Still using and still using.
Okay, so on the last show, I brought you the world's most expensive head torch, £400 second hand. Couldn't even find out what it would have cost you.
Oh,
this
yeah.
being the professional head torch for serious, you know, hospital surgeons, really important use for head torches. And that just put me in mind that I ought to bring on to still using the Sofirn, S-O-F-I-R-N, HS20 headlamp. I remember when I bought it, I did a lot of research and learned a lot about different kinds of light and different kinds of beam and how they focus and how they work, all of which I've forgotten now. But I ended up with the SFT40 version, for there are a few different variants, different flavours. And it is amazing. I mean, it is the brightest, most fabulous head torch I've ever come across in my life. I can go out in the garden at night and I can see beyond the garden fence into the field opposite. It really is fantastic. If you buy one from our favourite shop, it's going to cost you 58 quid. I remember, though, I bought mine direct from Sofern in China, and I paid around 20 quid for mine. So much cheaper if you've got the patience to order it from China.
There is a 20% off voucher on Amazon as well.
Ah, so it's still a little less. So it's going to be around the 40 mark, isn't it? So that's good. However, I certainly recommend it. If anyone's interested in a serious head torch, it's rechargeable. USB-C charges up. I can't remember for the life of me how long it takes to charge, an hour or so, I should imagine. And then again, how much use. I'm afraid I'm not Ted Salmon or Steve Litchfield. I'm a very bad boy. I don't do any sort of dedicated research. I don't turn it on and see how long it stays on before it dies. But all I can tell you is I've only had to charge it every few weeks with the use that I get from it. And I'm very, very happy with it. If you want a head torch, head for Sofim.
Yes, very good. If you put it on medium beam, it's supposed to last 10 hours and you can charge it from flat in 2.5 hours.
That sounds good. As I say, I've never turned it on and left it on and tested. So there you are. Thank you for the figures, Ted.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. So you've bought it direct from China. How long did it take to get here?
Again, it was more than 5 minutes ago, so I can't remember. But it wasn't terribly long.
Wasn't it? It wasn't AliExpress, was it?
No, I mean, but do you know what? I ordered, I'm going to mention later in the show, I've got a new phone, and I actually ordered an AliExpress case just for kicks and giggles, and it came within a week. I mean, it just arrived through the door almost like a late Amazon delivery. So, no, but as far as I can remember, I certainly don't recall having any angst, having any worry of, oh, God, I spent my money and where is it? I haven't got my head torch. So I'm afraid I can't remember. It was 2 years ago. Don't ask me difficult questions. But no, I don't think it took terribly long from China.
OK, then,
it was
thank
not
you.
Not much of an answer, I... was it? I'll go and sit in my corner while you get on with the show properly.
Yeah. Take this slap. Right, I'm still using my green parasol, the Sunmer.
Oh, yes.
2.7-metre green parasol, which is really big and really good, and you can change the angle of it and you can wind it up and down. You may remember from when I spoke about it before, I have actually broken one of the thingies that go from the middle to the edge of the what's it, which I don't know what
they're called.
I'm sorry.
who was just being criticised for not doing the show very well? The middle of the what's it?
Yeah. So if the centre of the canopy, it has arms that go out to hold the canopy out and in shape, and one of those is broken. So one of the corners kind of drops down. But I found a workaround for that, and I where it is in my situation works okay. It's water repellent. I whipped it out again this week because the season is upon us and it started to get warm. Mind you, it's gone cold again now. And it, you know, survived the winter under my decking. I've got a green one, but you can also get it in grey and white. And I see on Amazon that they're still about 50 quid, the same kind of price. Recommended. It's still going. I brought that to Whatever Works 181 in March 23. So, like your headlamp about 2 years ago.
Excellent. But my headlamp hasn't broken in the middle of the what's it.
Oh, you know, I mentioned to you previously and our dear listeners that I've got a knee pain.
Yes, indeed. Yes, yes. We've talked about various heated pads and things. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I decided to give this thing a go. It's a Terry knee warmer, and you get two of these in a pack, one for each knee. And I think that they're £9 for a pair, so cheap as chips. I think they're designed primarily for older people who've got kind of arthritic knees or just that their knees get cold. And according to the reviews, that's the vast majority of people buy them for that. Now, I got legs the size of tree trunks. My bones are just huge and everything about me is huge, as you might know. And because of that, I've been able to use one of these things on my knee because it's actually really tight. Now, for most people, that it wouldn't be tight and it wouldn't do the job I want it to do. I do fear that I might be cutting off the blood supply to my foot, which might fall off at some point, I suppose. But and I do take it off at night. And I also put it on periodically, like when it starts to hurt. I don't leave it on all the time. But anyway, because of the tightness of it, and because it's designed for people that haven't got tree trunk legs, as a support thingy, it works really well. And it's much, much cheaper than actually buying a specialist support thingy. And I can, as I say, take it on, put it off, put it on, take it off, whichever way around it is, depending on how my knee feels. And I'm, so far, it's working okay.
That's rather fiendish, Ted. I have two thoughts. First of all, I hope you don't have to be called Terry to wear one. Thick Terry knee warmer. Secondly, do you know what I think? I think somebody had a whole load of leg warmers left over from the 80s. And they've just found a clever way of flogging them as knee warmers.
Yeah, definitely. I guess Terry is in relation to Terry's nappies. I don't know. Because they are quite thick.
I didn't know anything about Terry's nappies. Let's move on. Before you tell me that you wear Terry's nappies, because you can't get them in your size. Ahmed Biebers brings us a butter spreader. So, yes, indeed, the butter theme continues now. But uh-huh. it is butter short item. Oh, please yourselves. Right. Anyway, Ahmed says this butter spreader works really well and it's an interesting idea, rather like a giant lipstick. And yeah, that's really the best way to describe it. It's like a large square lipstick or a large square Pritt stick, if you remember that wonderful glue that we used to love. What you do is you cut a slice of, or if you will, a finger of butter from your pat of butter, and you pop it into this square lipstick dispenser, and then you twist the bottom, and the butter comes out of the top exactly like a lipstick, and you then spread it on your toast or whatever you need the butter to do with your butter. It's one of those things, it's like an answer to a problem you didn't know you had, isn't it? I mean, yes, I think it's fine and it works and it does the job, but then what's wrong with a knife? So, yeah, I mean, why not? If you want to have fun spreading your butter, then this is certainly the way to do it. I think it's neither good nor bad. It's just what it is, a butter lipstick thing. What do you think?
I was trying to work out why it is that when I spread butter or margarine in my case, olive spread in fact, on my bread, the olive spread kind of rolls up and it kind of flies off the end. It doesn't really stick to the knife.
Yes, I know that one.
I tried to look up on Amazon about this, and they not on Amazon, on Google, and what people were generally saying was that something in the process is cold. Like the knife is cold or something is wet. And I've never really got to the bottom of it. Some days I go to spread my olive spread and it just kind of flies off. And obviously, by what you say, you know the problem. But this looks like a fun idea. And again, it's a whatever works. So why not indeed?
Yeah, well, what you need is an al filet temperature controlled butter dish. You can probably put other stuff in it as well as butter. I mean, I dare say if you could put spreads and jams and whatever else you wanted to in there. Just a thought.
You could use it to warm your mouse hand. Right. right, Cura Heat is next. This is a definitely a cheapest chips, because if you buy that deep heat pad thingies, those deep heat pads,
yes,
that you slap onto your body wherever you fancy, they cost £4.50 with a club card from Tesco. Normal price £6.50 for four. I decided to hang that, and I found these ones called Cura Heat in Tesco again, and they're £1.85 for three. So you can see the difference in price there. It's huge, and I thought, well, it's worth a punt. Anyway, I put this thing on my poor knee before I got my warmers, and it did the trick exactly the same as the deep heat ones does. So cheapest chips, and a Ted's top tip, which is you don't spend money on deep heat ones of these, just buy the Cura Heats.
I can concur and vouch for those too, Ted. I've actually been using them. I had one on yesterday on my back. I actually bought mine in Cyprus, of all places, in a shop called Jumbo when I was out there with my sister.
Ooh.
So, yes, you can... I concur. Yeah, I've used several of them on my back.
Good.
And again, I paid a few euros for... I think I bought a box of 8 of them and it cost something like €4 or something like that. I can't remember. But
it's
yeah,
amazing, isn't
I concur.
Why do people pay for trade names? It's a constant mystery to me. You know, the thing I think one we talked about before was an example that comes to mind: a tin of ravioli, Heinz ravioli, £1.70 a tin, and Tesco's own ravioli, 70p a tin. And you try the both of them, and they taste exactly the same. They probably are the same. But people must be prepared to spend all that extra money on just the brand name. Amazing.
I think for me, we're heading into better before territory here. And I would propose it's because in the past, there was a difference. And there were names that you could trust, that you knew you would get good products from. But because the whole world of producing things, especially food, has changed so much now that the brand names are no longer a league above the rest. The rest are on a par with the brand names, but people haven't caught up with that and are still buying the brand names, I think.
Right.
There's my Pennethworth.
Good job you're here, really.
I know. Let's play one of my jingles.
I want one, I want one, I want one.
I want one of those.
Ah, and a very fine jingle it was too. I want a Trocontn dementia clock. Now, this is Trocontn, and this is a clock that's clearly made for those with dementia or people who need a very bright, clear, easy-to-read clock. Now, perhaps I fall into that category, I don't know, but I think this is a very, very smart clock. I do hope that at the present time, I have still got my wits about me most of the time. But I still find this a very pleasant clock to look at because, on the picture here, it just says in huge letters, Friday morning, 11:56 a.m., 10th of June, 2022. And I just, that's all. I just find it an attractive clock. You know me. I mean, I've often come on the show saying, I'm looking for something that does this and nothing else. Why does something that mashes potato for you in the kitchen also have to massage your shoulders and make you a cup of coffee while it's doing it? Why can't things just do one job well? Well, I guess this is an example of doing one job well. It won't do anything but tell you the time and the date, but it does it very nicely and very smartly in huge letters, and I think it's rather attractive. You can get a 7-inch version for $29.99 or a 10-inch for $39.99, and I think you can get it in various colours, blue, green, red and yellow, or black, or white on black, and very nice. A Trocontn dementia clock. Why not?
I think the different colours are the display.
Yes.
So you can make it, it's not the actual...
Sorry, yes, I should have said, display colours, yeah.
And also it looks like the display is dimmable, so you can have it at different brightnesses and different languages. I really like that. I was trying to work out in the third picture on the Amazon link, the third picture from the left, I was trying to work out why it's got a USB-A port on the side. And I can only imagine, and I couldn't find out anywhere in the blurb, I can only imagine that it's because you can do pass-through charging for, a phone or something if it's by your bed. You can also hang it on the wall. It's got two lugs for screws if you want to hang it on the wall. Very good.
Or a little kickstand. Sorry, I was going to say also
a kickstand,
kickstand for standing up on the desk.
That's right, yeah. We used to use these kind of things when I was doing my psyche nurse training in the wards for elders. You'd have the day and the date and the time in big, even bigger than this, on the wall to try and, orientate people. And I think it's a really good idea.
Well, I want one.
I want a Majority Audio Folio. Now, bear with me, because I know it's a record player, but at last we've got one of these all-in-one kind of small almost portable record players, which is not shite. Usually you pay 45 quid for one of these things from China, and you can see from the tone arm that it's just like, you wouldn't dare put your records on it because it will carve them up and it would be awful. Well, this looks like it's a British firm as well, majority apparently. A couple of blokes in Cambridge, who set up the thing in 2012. They set it up from their garage and their front room, and they started off making portable Bluetooth speakers, and they moved into radios and sound bars, DVD players, and the latest thing is this record player. It's 170 quid, but it's got a proper Audio Technica cartridge on it, and an aluminium tone arm, and it actually looks as though it's made well. It's got a die cast platter, for example, and it's got a built-in photo stage, so you don't need an amplifier with it. RCA outputs and auxiliary input. You can record albums via USB sticks onto wherever else you want to put MP3 files afterwards. Knobs and switches and dials, 33 1/3 to 45, and you can get it in oak or black. I think it'll make much more sense for me in my living situation than having a whole bunch of hi-fi gear taking up loads of space. And it just struck me, because I've always looked at these kind of little units and thought, they just look so dreadful. I would not give it house room. But this one, at last, looks as though it's really well done and not horrendously expensive at 169 quid. I want one of those.
I think this is great. I mean, I can't really comment much. I haven't played an LP since I was a teenager. But I totally, totally get why people do and what you know, the universe in which this exists. And I agree with you, this looks like a quality product. I also love the fact that it's old meets new, so it's not only playing LPs, but it's also given the opportunity to rip and to do more modern things with it. I like this a lot. I wouldn't want one. Well, actually, I ought to have one, because I got a box full of records in the cupboard, and maybe I should have myself one of these. And you can send me the 40 quid Amazon one when you get one of these, and I'll be happy with that.
Well, fair enough. But I also like the story of these two guys, PJ and Eddie, who just kind of started it up in 2012, and 13 years later, British firm, they're still going. I looked up their HQ, which is in a industrial estate or something in near to Cambridge, and they've clearly made a real good go of their little business, so good for them.
Whatever.
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 Whatever worked.
What?
What? What? Whatever worked?
What?
What worked? Tell me what worked.
Oh, yeah. This is, right, the next show that we were both on was show 74 in January 19, and we had a guest on, unusually, Paul Lund. And the idea here is that we pick out stuff that we've kind of brought onto previous shows. And this significantly, this was the first show we had where the Google Plus group had collapsed, and we started up the MeWe groups. This was a kind of landmark show, really, in January 19. Anyway, a couple of things I was bringing for the show was the travel pill case, which is a dinky little thing from Amazon, which you put your pills in, and it's got 6 containers on each side, or 5, and you can just carry your pills with you, and it closes up really, really well. Yep. And the other one was the cheese grater, which is still in use, actually. The only trouble is that the plastic bits from the drums have come off, but it's still usable. And that was quite a good cheese grater. You kind of put it down onto a really, really flat surface like glass, and then you sucker it onto the edge and then wind the thing around and get your cheese out. So those were a couple of things that caught my eye in there. Anything caught your eye?
The one that caught my eye was the Happy Bowl biodegradable RV toilet bowl liners. For reasons I think we needn't go into, it became necessary for me to have something like this in the house. And I thought they were really good. I mean, I don't have an RV. I don't have an RV toilet, but I do have a normal toilet in a normal house, and we needed them at the time. And very, very good, very good. And flush them away and they just disappear, and, you know, they're biodegradable. So not much to be said. But yeah, I so I brought them onto the show. Why ever not?
Perfect. So, yes, we shall do a bit more nostalgia on previous shows on the next time in Whatever Worked.
Duh. I'm getting tired. Well, I'm getting tired with the world changing because I'm 61 years old and I'm fed up with this world and I just wish things was how they used to be.
I wish it would come to an end.
I'm becoming the classic old fart. But when things move unnecessarily quickly, it annoys me. I wanted to join a website recently to become a member of something or other. I can't remember what it was. I was buying tickets for something or doing something or other. And I, you know, you can't fart now without starting an account. And I was no longer allowed. It was the first time I've come across a company that would not let me start an account with email and password. I had a choice of Apple, Google or Facebook. So I reluctantly went with Google and just thought, why? Why can I not use my email and invent a password as I have done a myriad times in the past with other organisations? Why suddenly does stuff have to go through either Apple, Google or Facebook? So that was it. That was my win.
Because the answer is because it saves the website people having to have the infrastructure of maintaining databases and having to comply with the law on that, when they could just get Google to do that or other companies, and then Google look after the back end of all of that. The advantage also is that it makes it simple for people to do that. If you settle on a company you trust, I have with Google, I'm delighted when I see a Google sign up thing or a Google Pay button or anything that you know that Google are managing that on their behalf and you're trusting Google. And Google, I know it's all eggs in one basket, but I think there's another side to this argument, and I will not allow it to be in Room 101.
You know, that's what I like about this show, Ted. You've actually convinced me. No, but I'm not criticising. I'm actually saying that listening to your response, I realise that I am indeed an old fart and there really is indeed no reason not to move forward and go with Google. So there you go. You've won me over. All right, I remove my Room 101 and I throw it back into the heavens and, yeah, I just get a life and join Google.
I'm going to throw built-in obsolescence into Room 101. I think we've done this before, but this is a specific example here. Disposable society, built-in obsolescence. Mm-hmm. I had a tap in my static kitchen sink.
Yeah.
It's dripping. I call a plumber. He tells me, yeah, mate, that'll be £100 for a new one, mate. Yes, he actually called me mate twice. For a dripping tap, I said, I have to buy a new one. They're making completely sealed tap units. So when the washer goes, people just have to chuck it away. Oh. Yeah, mate. So this bloke was calling me mate twice in every sentence, which is really annoying, as you know of me. Anyway, the point of the article is that that unit is completely sealed. You cannot replace a washer in it. The solution when your tap starts dripping, unlike the old days, is you chuck it away and you buy a new one, not only costing another £100, but also filling up presumably landfill somewhere, or I don't know if it's recyclable or not. But that's just criminal, isn't it? Dreadful.
Absolutely. I totally concur. Things should be made to be repaired, not to be thrown away. Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
And being called mate twice in a sentence is criminal too.
Oh, that one I'm not so sure about.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Now, start that again. Wrong podcast here, I know, but I have to just throw out a gold star to you, Mr. Salmon, for recently very generous and helpful and kind and friendly advice to me in the purchase of a new mobile phone, which is why I say wrong podcast, because I'm not going to wax lyrical about the mobile phone because this isn't the podcast for that. But I did want to say I was very grateful not only for your kind and generous help, but then your kind and generous sale to me of a fabulous Motorola Edge 50 Pro smartphone, which I've been using now for a couple of weeks and with which I'm extremely happy and grateful for your help, Ted. So it's good to have friends in the right places, and when you know one of the co-presenters of the Phone Show Chat, you can take advantage of that. Thank you, Ted. I'm very grateful. You get my gold star this week for helping me buy a new phone.
I'm glad you're pleased with it. I was very concerned, in case you wouldn't be, having been with that Nokia XR20 for so long, but I'm really pleased that you like it. So that's great.
Thank you.
I'm going to give a gold star to Men's Shed. Now, we did this ages ago, years ago, but I'd completely forgotten about it. Men's Shed is an organisation, sexist as it might sound, where these blokes kind of set up a workshop in somewhere they can. In this case, in Abergele, it's in an old village hall or something. Mm-hmm. And they basically offer out their services. Usually it's older people or people recovering from mental health problems or people that have been in prison and rehabilitating or, you know, whatever it is. They do jobs for people that need jobs doing. Typically DIY type stuff. Now, Dad has some garden furniture that needs painting with this kind of weather sealant stain stuff. He's too old and knackered to do it, and I'm too lazy. Anyway, so I'd forgotten all about Men's Shed, but someone mentioned it to us, and we called them up. So there's a branch around the corner. There's lots of branches. I'll link in the show notes to their website, because there's tons of these. They see it as a form of occupational therapy for them. They want to get out of the house and do bloke-type stuff, I guess. Anyway, this guy came round, assessed the job, and even sending round transport to pick up the items, to take them away. They seem to want to do it at base. They don't do it where you are.
Yeah.
But they want to take it all away. And then when they've done it, if you can't afford to pay them anything for doing it, then it's free. But they will hope that people, you know, Dad's not short of money. So he's decided, I think, to give them £100 to do it,
yeah.
Based on the fact that the furniture cost £300 three or four years ago. So £100 would seem about right, and it would help them with their costs and whatever. So link in the show notes to Men's Shed. Branches all over the UK. There's lots of them. Do you remember that? Have you heard of it?
I've never heard of it, and I think that's fabulous, because, as you say, it's a total win-win. You know, they're helping you to achieve something that you need doing, and you're helping them with the rehabilitation that's so wonderful. So brilliant. Hear, hear.
Yeah.
Definitely. Gold star from me.
Excellent. Right, OK, then. I think we're done. We're done for another, fortnight or 3 weeks, depending on available content. So, yes, it is up to you, dear listeners, to tell us whatever works in your life, hopefully in our MeWe group. Whateverworks.works, this is where you'll find our website with links to all the stuff we've been talking about today. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan, what he does and what he can do and what is available to do. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me, and links to all the other audio podcasts that the team are involved in and the other MeWe groups. So, yes, do join us in the MeWe group. That's where we like to scoop up all the information. As always, it is last word to you, my friend.
Oh, just keep on keep going, everybody. And don't forget the Camera Creations group. Get in touch with Ted if that's something you'd like to be a part of. It sounds like a fun new development for us. Yes, all best. And see you soon. Development. I did it again without even realising it.
Okay, then. So we'll see you in 2 or 3 weeks, everyone. Or you'll listen to us in 2 or 3 weeks. You won't see us. Well, unless we start using my video camera, then you might see us. But let's not go there.
On that thought.
One last thing to say, as always. Don't forget,
whatever works.